Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today, sermon title, What's the Catch? John 3:16. You know, of all the Gospels in the Bible, of the four Gospels in the Bible, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, personally, I think John, the book of John is the Gospel of John is absolutely wonderful. I think it's my favorite of the four. I think John is a fairly easy to read one of the Gospels. Certainly one of the most popular, certainly the most popular in understanding the life and teachings of Jesus. And in many respects, John's Gospel lays out a very simple model of the faith that we should have. It lays out a clear example, of how we can live for Christ. So today's sermon is focused on John 3:16. And even though, so it's John 3:16, even though the passage it covered verses 11 to 20. Yeah. And the sermon title for today is What's the Catch? Just so that you know, over the next season or so, we're going to be looking at something that I have come to term 16:16s. 16:16s, and that is that we're going to be exploring verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, across 16 different books of the Bible. Yeah, full details are on the church website, on the PHBC website, and they'll be updated every week, so you'll see that. So 16:16. So today, John 3:16. What's the catch? As many of you know, John 3:16 is famous. I mean, really famous. The Bible contains 31,102 verses. And out of the 31,102 verses, John 3:16 is the best known verse. It's known by Christians, non-Christians. It's used in, you know, it's used on placards. It's in graffiti. It's on tattoos. It's painted on motorway bridges even. More than any other verse, it's most probably the one that people will remember by heart. So, let's get it out of the way. I'd like you to say with me the words of John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So, thinking about the meaning of that verse and what it tells you God has done for you, I want you to hold that in your mind. I want you to think about that verse for a moment. Just think about what it tells you God has done for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Today I want to do things a little bit differently than I have typically done. In my time today, I just want to speak out a few things from my heart. I just want to speak from my heart today. Not that I don't on other days, in other sermons. But some of these things I have vocalized, some of these things I've said in conversations over the last couple of months. And some of you will have heard some of it some of the time. As I go through what I will share today, from time to time, as I speak from my heart, I'm going to read this verse. And I'm going to do that so that you can see how it relates to what I'm saying, as well as how it relates to our current situation. And it is my prayer that as you see that, you will also see how to respond to what God is saying to you. Yeah, how to respond to what God's saying to you. So, listen, let me just get to it. People of God, we're living in absolutely crazy times. I mean, this global situation is one, you know, people keep calling it unprecedented. And that's probably the best word to describe it, unprecedented. You know, unprecedented, it basically means we've never previously seen anything like this. And typically, when something happens, something like this happens for the first time, it's like our brains go into overdrive as we try to find a means by which we can process it. We try and make sense of it. I remember one time, you know, we as a family, we went shopping. This is quite a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. No, probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. We went shopping and we went into Tesco in Streatham, and we parked the car in the car park and came up the escalator. And as we did, I felt so emotional. I thought I was going to cry. I just looked at it and I thought, what has become of our world? And the truth of it is, when we go through as people, when we go through situations like this, we naturally look for a pigeonhole. We look for a box, a means to process it. We look for something in which we can fit it. And psychologically speaking, it's quite a normal and natural human response. Unfortunately. In our bid to put our experiences into a pigeonhole, sometimes in the frailty of our humanity, we just get a bit silly. That's the word I'm going to use. And as such, sometimes it's commonplace, you know, times like these, to hear conspiracy theories, people waxing lyrical about their particular, you know, explanation for what's going on. I mean, a couple of you have heard me say this. Don't get me wrong. For those who haven't, I myself, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. If you give me a juicy one, you know, like the moon landings, I'm all over it. For example, you know, I, as far as I'm concerned, and I've been saying this for easily the last 30 years, I've said it privately and publicly. As far as I'm concerned, no human being has ever landed on the moon. Full stop. I don't believe it. No human being has ever landed on, every monkey that went to the moon came back dead. No human being has ever done it. Sorry, I don't believe it. And I'm not going deep with it. I'm not looking at the science. I'm not looking at, it's a very, very simple, my logic is very simple to it. And I say this because ever since the Garden of Eden, anything that has been done by a human being has been repeated by a human being. Anything someone's done, someone has repeated, whether it's that same person or somebody else. You know, nothing in all history shows somebody doing something and being the only person to ever try to do it again. The only person to ever try to do it when nobody has ever tried it again. Nothing in history shows that. Running a marathon. You know, as you know, I ran the London Marathon. Why? Other people had run it before, and I thought, I want to do it too. Yeah? So I repeated it. Somebody did it, somebody repeated it. Climbing Everest, it was done, it was repeated. Building rockets, it was done, it was repeated. You know, inventing rubber tires, it was done, it was repeated. You know, the rubber tires, goodness me, the Americans have tires, the British have tires, the Italians, the Chinese. Somebody else will do it. Somebody wants to be the oldest this, the youngest that, the first woman, the first African, the first man, the first whatever. And in some cases, the pioneer or the record holder is the one to repeat it. The record holder breaks their own records, you know. So, I as far as I'm concerned, nobody has ever landed on the moon. Because are you telling me the Americans did it and then the Russians were like, oh, the Americans have done it. Oh, that's okay. We're just gonna leave it there. No. Or the Chinese, well, that lot have done it. Oh, it's okay. We don't want to do it. Nah, I don't believe it. Anyways, I think I said that before. 2 months ago, here at church, right here, I read a scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. It reads this. It says, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And, you know, 2 months ago, back at the beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March, I talked about this issue. I talked about conspiracies. I talked about fear. People of God, all the things we're seeing happening around us, yes, yes, they are signs of the end times that the Bible talks about. However, it doesn't mean that the end times are upon us right now. Please, please read the Bible, believe the Bible. Please, Google is not your Bible. Yeah, let's be clear. Please do your research, but put Google where it belongs. And in that church service, I also said, as a Christian, death is your gateway to Jesus. And I cautioned us against fear. I said the real virus is fear. I talked about that. Our verse for today, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." As I said, I'm going to read it. I'm going to just read that or say that verse periodically as I talk today, just to pull us back. And there's a point to all of this. So going back to what I said back in at the beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March, I also pointed out to us, as I said, the real virus is fear. Fear of what? You see, all over the internet, people were posting articles, sermons, videos, you know. And many of them, yeah, they proclaimed the truth. You fight fear with faith. However, that statement just by itself may not be entirely, you know, may not be entirely true. You fight fear with faith. So let me point out, in this battle of fear and faith, the real fear isn't the fear of, in my opinion, isn't the fear of infection from this new coronavirus. I mean, we've had it before. Coronavirus is not new. That's why it's got a date on it. It's the 2019 version of coronavirus. So it's been around for a while. So it's not fear of being infected. It's not even, in my opinion, I don't think the biggest fear is the fear of death. I think much more than anything, people are afraid. With the same fear that we've had for millennia, for thousands of years, I think the real fear is the fear of the unknown. It's the fear we don't know what's happening, and I think that's what's behind all the WhatsApp messages and the Facebook messages and the social media and the YouTube videos and all these postings. People are afraid. But why are we afraid? You know, what could there be for us to fear? You know, as Christians, we're supposed to have read the book, right? And we've been told this, so we know. We know how the story ends, don't we? And for those of you, perhaps, who haven't read the book, who haven't read the Bible, for those of you who haven't been told how the story ends, sorry, but here comes the spoiler alert. I'm about to tell you how it all ends, how it really ends. Are you ready? We win. All this that's going on right now, all this stuff is temporary. We don't need another reason. We don't need any other reasoning. Nothing else matters as much. We don't need to know anything else. Again, I read John 3:16. I pause and read John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." People, it's unfortunate, you know, this unfortunate truth, I will say, is that from the Garden of Eden right through to till today, knowledge has been a vice for humanity. We have a natural human curiosity, an inherent curiosity. Unfortunately, it has led to an insatiable desire for us to just want to know. And because of that, you know, we're discontent. If I don't know, I'm not happy. I need to know. Our identity, our validity, our satisfaction is based in how much we know. We put such a price on knowing. It's one of the reasons why Facebook is one of the most valuable companies in the world today. Because Facebook, when it concerns your business, Facebook knows. They don't just have your name or your address, your email address. Facebook knows what kind of jokes you like. Facebook knows from you and your friends what kind of music you listen to. There's no government on earth that has that kind of information. Facebook has it. And that's why Mark Zuckerberg is one of the richest men on earth today. In the book of Daniel, and I'm going to talk about Daniel a little bit more. There's another story I want to talk about, but I want to talk about Daniel chapter 11. You know, I think it's 11:32. Yeah, Daniel 11:32 says, "Those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Shall be strong and do exploits. You know, those who know their God. I think about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, and particularly the first commandment. Well, I say Ten Commandments. In this day and age, for some people, it's the Ten Suggestions. You know, unfortunately, we're not, many people don't take it as seriously as it's meant to be. We look at it and we go, well, you know, it's a little bit pick and choose. Oh, don't get me started on that. You know, so the Ten Commandments, we think about the one that we have come to call God. You know, the first commandment, you know, is the one that tells us that we're supposed to have only one God. And that God is supposed to be supreme above all others. It is a saddening sight to behold, to see more and more people holding knowledge as supreme above all others. Knowledge has become the supreme God of this world. We've come to rate knowledge above everything else. And in these times that were times of uncertainty, people are clutching for the straws of knowledge. And this, because through knowledge, people are seeking assurance. Through knowledge, we're seeking common ground in which we can stand together and hope for the future. Knowledge. And unfortunately, because demand has given rise to supply, because of the desperation for knowledge, all sorts of cowboys have risen. All sorts of charlatans have arisen, selling, peddling knowledge to the desperate. Having knowledge as a god accounts for the work of these charlatans who are trying to prove, you know, that they have the answers, they are strong and they can do exploits because, you know, they know the God of knowledge. They worship at the foot of the God of knowledge. You know, I also want to talk about knowledge. The information that we're receiving and the stuff that we're getting. You know, it's only a few years ago that we learned the term fake news. But before we knew fake news, we knew what exaggeration, innuendo, half-truths. We've known these words. Innuendo, half-truths, exaggeration, all of them are children of falsehood. They're all related to falsehood. You're giving an impression that is not 100% accurate. And forgive me, you know, even if you, I just had to say that, even if you say, oh, it's only a little white lie, it doesn't matter what size you put on it or what color you put on it. A lie is a lie. And the last time I checked my Bible, God doesn't commend or condone lies of any shade or any size. If it's fake news, it's a lie. If someone sends you something that's a lie and you send it to someone else, you've just lied. Unfortunately, it actually doesn't make a difference whether you knew it was a lie. If someone got fake news from you, it means you've lied to them. I said this before, saints. Please do not lie. Please. I want to caution every member of this wonderful church family of ours, PHBC family. I've said this before. If you have not checked something for yourself to be true, do not forward it to anybody, especially if you're someone that's in a position or a profession that is of influence, that is of significance. And I'm sure some of you that are listening to this message, you might say, oh, well, I didn't mean any harm. I was only trying to help when I forwarded the message. Well, if that be the case, I understand. And my response to that is this. By all means, serve or by any means serve all humanity, but by no means at the expense of your eternity. By any means serve all humanity, but by no means at the expense of your eternity. I read again John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Listen, there are some truths that we must accept in this situation. It is true that we still know so little about this particular strain of coronavirus. It's true that people are refusing to take ownership of various, I don't know, machinations and movements within our technological, biological, and political spheres. That's true. It's also true that we need to approach this with common sense in the same way that we approach other things. It is also true that we get used, we get so used to things being within our control that when something comes outside of our control, it can be daunting. That's true. However, saints, it's important that we avoid the two extremes. We avoid, on one hand, panic and fear. We avoid, on the other hand, indifference, pretending that this doesn't mean anything. At this time, the situation that we're faced right now, the world we're in is looking for ways to boost morale, to spread happiness. The world is looking for something else to focus on. People are drawing and painting and singing and dancing and doing all sorts of things to take a focus away, to be honest, you know, from the terrible, terrible tragedies that have affected us all in some way. Saints of God, this is not the time for fear and foolishness. We, the children of God, we have joy. We've got joy. And it's a joy that comes from knowing that God is on our side and we are on his. And because of this, we're able to endure. This is what we should be sending on WhatsApp. This isn't the time for us to chase after theories, to highlight what the enemy, you need to know what the enemy is doing, you know, through 5G technology, maybe, you know, let's know about it because somebody said they move in the prophetic giftings. This is not the time for that. This is the time to let the world know that they should come to God. And guess what? We come to God not because we're avoiding his vengeance. We come to God to experience his love. So Christians, please, I'm asking you, I beseech you, PHBC family, do not preach the gospel of fear. Preach the gospel of faith. You know, for many years I've said this, that if a lion is chasing you and you can see a gate in front of you, you don't put your focus on the lion, you put your focus on the gate. In a situation like that, you don't focus. If someone's trying to get you to pay attention to the vital statistics, let me give you some data, let me give you some information about the lion, you don't pay attention to them. Stop listening to people that want to tell you, oh, this lion, let me tell you how high, you know, the height of the lion or how heavy it is or its speed, its run rate or its kill rate or its, you know, its how many animals it ate in the jar. I'm not interested in that. Help me get to the gate. Get me to the gate. I read again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. People of God, I know that fear can cause insecurity. And when we're afraid, when we're journeying in the sea of unpredictability, it's natural for us to try and anchor our thoughts and our emotions, particularly in what is familiar to us. Also, we're living in an age of disruption on an unprecedented scale. And right now, what's normal? You know, where can we turn through all of the turmoil, through all of the uncertainty? Ask yourself honestly, How much knowledge are you trying to gain? How much data are you still trying to consume? How much so-called knowledge do you feel you must have? How much of a slave to knowledge have you become, or are you becoming? So, for example, why do you need to know exactly how many coronavirus deaths have occurred in your postcode? No, I mean, really, why do you need that information? What will it build in your life to know that? Ask yourself that question honestly. This pandemic, this coronavirus situation, it's turned our lives upside down. And even though, you know, we hope to return to some version of normality in the next couple of months, it's highly likely that nothing will quite be the same again. I don't think everything is going to be as it was. I think normal is going to be redefined right across the world. And beyond the obvious, beyond the very tragic loss of lives, very tragic, very personal pain that has come from this, many people have also lost livelihoods. They've lost jobs. They've lost businesses. And there's no diminishing how difficult it's been and has been and will be, you know, emotionally and financially. Again, I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, in the middle of all this doom and gloom and all this darkness, there are still opportunities, saints of God. There are opportunities to imagine our world, reimagine our world, and reimagine our place within this world. The world around us is still looking for ideas, still looking for answers, but yet still looking for innovation. And in order, and doing that, in order to retain some control, or regain some control, of course, as a means to normalize. The world wants to find a new normal, a new path, a new stability, a new foundation. And I want to touch on something that I've said before. Let me just do this quickly. I need to do this. You know, for the people out there who are quoting scriptures and talking about how coronavirus is a plague from God upon the earth, let me be clear about something. God is not human. He's not like me or you or your uncle, your brother, your sister, your cousin. He's not human. He's not, you know, because he's not human, he's not subject to these feelings that we have. He doesn't have the need to punish people just to prove a point about who he is. Please don't believe that trash. He is the Almighty God in his sovereignty. And the only point that God needed to prove, the point that he loves us with no limit, he proved that once and for all with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we celebrated that a few weeks ago. So yeah, just wanted to be clear on that. God isn't trying to prove a point, you know. But in this time, in this era, in this season where the very essence, the very fabric of our humanity feels like it's being attacked, this isn't the time for us to hide in the shadows. Well, the only shadow we should hide under is the shadow of his wings. This is a time where we should root and ground our comfort, our safety, our identity. We sit and fit our security, you know, in how close we are to the Almighty God. That's what we should be doing at this time. I read again John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Unfortunately, fear has gripped the hearts of many people. Gripped the hearts of many people to a point that they no longer recognize that they're operating from fear. But I think it's that fear of the unknown, fear of the unanswered questions, fear of how will we get over this, fear of, do I need to wear a mask? Can I go on the bus again? will I get sick? Many are asking questions about this coronavirus. And honestly, I'm not going to argue to the validity of any question somebody has. A question is a question, you know, and that's the truth of it. And there are many questions that many of us have around this season, around what's going on. You know, is it a virus or is it a weapon? Is it technological or is it political? Is corona chemical or is it biological? Is it an action or is it a reaction? Is it, you know, some are saying, okay, is this something that, you know, the people are saying? Are its origins from the Almighty as some form of judgment upon the earth? Or is it from humanity as some form of experiment? You know, honestly, I don't know. Excuse my language, but I don't care, quite frankly. I actually don't want to know. I choose not to be a slave to the God of knowledge. Romans 6:22 tells me I should be a slave of God, being led to holiness and eternal life. And honestly, I don't think we need all the answers that are presented before us. PHBC family, please decide what's important and keep that as your focus. I've been saying this for how many months now? Many people have gotten to the point of asking, well, what if this and what if that happens? What if, you know, what if it's all a big conspiracy? What if it's not real? What if we're all being misled? Yeah, those are some, those are questions. There are even more serious questions that people are asking. For example, people are saying, what if I get sick? What if my loved one dies? Well, honestly, these are valid questions. And I want to respond to those questions in this way. In the book of Daniel, this is what, 600 years before Jesus was born. In the book of Daniel, we read about three young men who got into trouble, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These young men were about to be executed in one of the worst possible ways. They were about to be thrown into fire. What was their crime? They did not bow down to worship idols set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, they held fast to their faith in God. These young men, they refused to compromise. And Daniel chapter 3 tells us, you know, they're responding, you know, they're telling people that, listen, they know, they're saying, listen, we know God will come through for us. We will not compromise. If you throw us in the fire, God will come through. He will save us. But then in Daniel 3 and 18, verse 18, they say this. Said, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You see, they turned the issue of what if, they turned it on its head. They changed what if into even if. Even if. So think about the questions people are asking. What if coronavirus is a huge conspiracy? Well, I say, even if it is a huge conspiracy, I will keep my focus on God. Even if I get sick, even if my loved one dies, even if I lose my job, even if things get tough, I will keep my focus on God. Even if it will end in my death, I will keep my focus on God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The sermon title asks the question of John 3:16. It asks the question, what's the catch? And as I've spoken today, I've also thought about that. What is the catch? You know, as I've spoken, as I've talked, as I've just reflected, as I've been speaking, I see that, you know, God doesn't need our understanding as much as he needs our obedience. When I look at John 3:16, and John 3:16 encapsulates the entire gospel. That's it in one sentence. That's the whole point of Christianity in one sentence. When I look at that verse, I realize our core obligation, our core responsibility as we journey through this life, as we journey through everything that is being thrown at us at this point, The main thing through which all of our earthly issues become bearable is the faith in what Jesus did, not our ability to understand how it worked. So how do we respond to the craziness of our world today? How to guard our heart and the mind, our hearts and our minds in the midst of all the conspiracies and the theories? How to get through the gate before the lion catches you? How to turn your what if into even if? How to answer the question posed by the sermon title, "What's the catch?" The catch is actually right there in John 3:16. Just believe. That's all you need to do. Believe.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.